only 44% of countries have made full legal commitment through international treaties to the cause of gender parity in education. This, according to this year's gender review, published by UNESCO's Global Education Monitoring Report being published today.
UNESCO surveyed 189 states to assess whether they ensured their girls and women fully benefit from the right to education. And joining us this morning to tell us more about the Global Education Monitoring Report is Hai Tiet. Welcome to Miraya Breakfast Show.
Thank you so much. Good morning to you and all the listeners out there.
Yes. So what issues does this report raise?
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I just want to wish every listener out there a happy International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. This is a very exciting day for UNESCO and for myself personally. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, this year's Global Education Monitoring Report, which is an annual report produced by UNESCO, it focuses on the issue of gender. So although there's been a lot of discussions and movement on gender inequality in education in recent years, the report highlights that there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
Right.
Only 66% of countries have achieved gender parity in primary education. So gender parity meaning here 50% men and 50% women in the classrooms. Mm. When we go to the lower secondary level, it's 45%. And then when we go to the upper secondary level, it's a starking 25%. So the report discusses these statistics as well as discussing the gaps in gender equity in education at the global, regional, and all the way down to the household levels. And interesting, in some countries, girls' education is not a challenge. It's rather boys' education and their access to education in that regard. So it also speaks about the structural challenges, including the policies and frameworks needed to address gender inequality, representation of females in decision-making positions and in the classrooms, as well as how gender inequality in education affects other sectors.
Right.
For example, if we look at business, if only 50% of the population is in business, then that means there's 50% more potential and business opportunities to help, you know, not only their families themselves, but also the country.
Yes, and this report highlights some of the gender stereotypes that are impending girls' education. Is this applicable to South Sudan, and what are some of these stereotypes?
Sure. In South Sudan, many countries in the world and in sub-Saharan Africa, there are distinct challenges for girls in education. For example, distance travel to schools. For some families, they wouldn't want their daughters to travel such a long distance to get in the security situation. Mm. Or domestic responsibilities. Oftentimes not in South Sudan, we see that domestic chores are often
tasked to
the girls, correct? And then we see early age or child marriages, the lack of sanitary facilities set for girls in schools, and the lack of female teachers. Right now we see in South Sudan, depending on the location, about 10 to 50% of teachers are female. And of course, sometimes, you know, when you're a little one in the classroom, you see what you see in the classroom is what you mimic. So if they don't see a female teacher, sometimes they don't want to go to school. Mm. And then on the a challenge of child marriage, 60% of girls age 15 through 19 that do not have an education are married in South Sudan. And starkly as well, for girls with a education of secondary or higher, the percentage is only 20%. So that's a big, big difference in the power of education.
Wow. And the report also raises a critical concern. And I quote, if girls can't take legal action when their right to education is denied, the right risks being reduced to empty rhetoric. Can you explain what this means?
Sure. So if our rights are denied, you and I had our rights denied, in most countries around the world, we have the opportunity to raise those concerns, and there's legal recourse in that regard. In many countries around the world, unfortunately for girls and women, that is not an option. So there's no legal platforms or legal structures in place in countries that women can speak out.
Right.
So this report highlights the need that we need to develop structures, policies that have teeth. That means there's actionable actions that would be made if rights are denied to girls and women. So we recommend that through this report and on all of UNESCO's work as well, and to ensure that everyone is held accountable.
Yes, and as we talk about this report that was released by UNESCO, what are the concrete recommendations that this report have raised?
Sure. So there's two main overarching recommendations that the report recommends. First and foremost, it's to identify and remove gender barriers. What this means is asking policymakers or anyone out there to take a put on the gender lenses to see policies, frameworks, and regulations through a gender lens. For example, to access education in South Sudan, sometimes girls do not want to go to school because of menstruation, as I mentioned earlier, the cultural challenges. Mm-hmm. To ensure that the policies really reflect that, and to put action line items in policies to ensure that those needs are met. And the second recommendation is to hold people accountable. So this could be just mean policies and laws to ensure that government bodies or national stakeholders or international stakeholders are held accountable for their actions in terms of gender. Mm. But it also means the social, the professional, cultural, and organizational perspective to holding them accountable. So if you work for an organization and you see that the gender perspective is not held accountable, perhaps setting a rule within the organization to ensure that women's voices are heard, and then, as of course, the social cultural perspective, meaning in your families, making sure that, you know, women, female, your daughters, your wives, your aunties have the voices that can be heard.
Right. And Mr. Hai, just before we conclude this interview, what's UNESCO's message for this day, International Women's Day?
Sure. Well, to tell all the listeners out there, 50% of the women, I mean, 50% of the population is women in this world. Imagine a world where two times everything, doubling the effort towards any cause, is happening. Imagine two times effort towards contributing to the economy, to your family, two times the effort for peace and reconciliation, two times the, making the world a better place. So I wish everyone again a happy International Women's Day, and thank you for so much for having UNESCO on.
Thank